Look at the next one, Psalm 119 and verse 99. This is David. He said, I have more understanding than all. Psalm 119, like that. More understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So as he was meditating on the testimonies of God there, he said, I have more understanding, but he had to be taught. They presented himself to be taught. As they were teaching him, he had more understanding than his teachers. But he wasn't absent from the class. He went there. But as he was being taught, the Holy Spirit was giving him more insight than his teachers, a better understanding. And what was the root cause of that? Meditation on God's word. I mean, John Gillick said it in his book, that they put things on his brain there to test his brain, on his head there. All right, and he began to recite certain psalms. And as he was doing it, they saw that what they used to measure intelligence had gone off. They said, listen, what are you doing? What are you saying? He said, I am activating the life of God. And that life is flowing on the inside of me. And your equipment is reading that something else is going on. And it cannot measure that life. They tested it. So what we're saying is this. A man says, well, I'm going in, all right, to expose myself to information. Let me meditate upon the statutes of God. So what happens is that goes to God. Let's say he needs to solve a problem. He says, God, here is my target. So, and I'll get to this. Yeah, God gives him scriptures. Let's just say, through Christ, who strengthens me, I can do all things. The Holy Spirit that is on the inside of me knows all things, teaches me all things, shows me all things. I have an unction. So what he begins to do is he starts meditating on the word. To meditate means to mutter the word to him. And he begins to mutter that word to himself. He starts declaring what the scripture says to himself before he exposes himself to that information. He is getting the Holy Ghost now to begin to move on the inside of him. All right? He starts declaring it. Right? I have the intelligence of God on the inside of me. The same wisdom that is in Jesus resides on the inside. As I sit here and study, the Holy Spirit and begins to, the Holy Spirit starts showing him that spiritual side. And he begins to do that, then he exposes himself, right, to that level of information or that information, and things begin to happen. Now, Jesus did the same thing. Luke chapter 2 and verse 45. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 2 and verse 45. It tells us that when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And the Bible says that, next verse, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them first and then asking them questions. So he listened and then asked questions. And all that heard him were astonished. In other words, the questions he was asking them, they themselves, from what they thought, they themselves, as they listen to the question, they say, what's going on here? He'll say, well, you said something in Jeremiah 12, chapter 5. You know, I remember that, you know, something else also was said here in Isaiah this. When we connect these two things together, do you think, and they were listening to him, that where do you get, all right, the ability to be able to combine these things? Or where do you get this understanding? That word understanding is this critical faculty. The ability to be able to analyze the data that were given to you this way. The ability to put two and two together. Now, that was the Holy Spirit working. But if he didn't sit with the doctors, there would have been no material. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what he did was that, and this is where innovation, what he did, and this is where Christians, I mean, you know, we just feel that we don't need, and we are out of the game. The same way if you don't have the material there that the mechanic has, the information he has, you are out of the game of repairing that car. You can't play in the game. If you are there, you don't have the information a doctor has, you can't play in that world, right? Once they start talking, you can't play there. So the question is, anywhere you want to play, all right, and become a king in that area, then you must understand that the information in that particular area, you must make that information available, all right, to the Holy Spirit there to be able to teach you and to give you insight into that place so that you are far more above. I mean, I remember once in school, I had this friend, a very good friend of mine. In fact, was my best man at my wedding. His nickname is Einstein, and we called him Einstein because something happened in class. And I just remembered this morning what really happened when I was teaching. The teacher was teaching, this was in lower six, and he was talking additional maths, complex stuff. And he got stuck. And he was looking at it. And this friend of mine said, sir, if you put this here and remove this and you put this here, you might get the answer. And the teacher did it, And the answer came out. And all of us said, Albert Einstein. And from there, we started calling him Einstein. All right? And he brought it out there. Now, let me tell you something. I can't forget the shirt the teacher was wearing. And I can't forget where the guy was sitting. Because that burst of intelligence made an impression. What we are saying is that when you have bursts of intelligence like this, humanity will never forget. Are you following me? You make a presentation in the office and everybody is blown away. Humanity will never forget. That is why when they are looking for people, they will say, I remember somebody I know. How did they remember the stroke of genius that came out of you impressed? Are you understand this? Nobody will remember the person. I'm using this word again. I'm sorry again. That's just been daft around the whole place. Nobody. When he gets to a higher level, he's not going to remember that person. All right? So anybody that they remembered, you are praying. God, they will not sleep. They will sleep. They will sleep very well. The only people that they can't sleep about are Mordecai that went and did something that was not evil. Are you following? I'm saying, if you're just saying they will sleep, I'm telling you they will not sleep. They will not sleep. The king will not sleep. The king, he's sleeping. He's sleeping very well. All right? Because no impression has been made. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now I'm trying to show the pattern here. So Jesus asked questions. All right? And we're going to adopt this in church because I found out that you can't really learn completely without asking questions. Okay, when I was growing up in scripture pastor, they used to ask questions. And I didn't really know the significance. I mean, it was a good meeting. We'll come to church. He would teach 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Bible study, all right, verse by verse. And third Sunday of every month was question and answer. And we'll write questions and he will answer the questions. But then I realized that, I'm trying to fit it that you have to, you know, people have to ask. Okay? Because when people ask questions, it even, number one, people understand better. Even if you are answering somebody else's question, they will understand better. All right? It also helps the person that is teaching. All right? And I believe that the reason why sometimes we go into excess on any doctrine is because they are not answering the questions in the hearts of people. If people have questions and they ask, right? So when you just preach and everybody has to nod to you, after some time you just feel that you can say whatever you can and you get away with it. So you can begin to slip into things that you're not supposed to. So questions, all right, are very good there in the Bible. So we'll be doing that. Just as you drop that in. And please, when you write the questions, even if you know me and you don't want me to know that, you know, you have always had this question in your heart, eh? Just create an email address, jackjack@gmail.com, and ask the question. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then please, when you're asking the question, just ask proper questions. Don't flatter me. Don't start by saying, Pastor, you know, since the day I met you, honestly, as you just teach, you know, things just change around in my brain, but I just want to ask this. You don't have to say all of that, all right? Don't have to massage my ego that they say, don't be angry about this question I'm about to ask you, but this is the question. Just ask the question there. All right, because I'm trying to tell you that questions are what helpful. Because what they said when Jesus had understanding was a critical faculty in man, all right, to analyze things. Which means that when people ask questions like that and challenge you and get, well, not, I don't use the word criticize, but critical in their thinking, what happens is that you now go back and you look at it, and then the Holy Spirit is able to now show you much more, all right, than you know. So don't ever run away from questions. I mean, I was reading something, watching something on YouTube, a man, you know, this was in America, I don't want to mention his name, but he faced the College of Bishops there. And I told somebody, I said, "What? This man is asking questions. So, even though he went into heresy, but the original questions he asked, we have not answered in the body of Christ. So this question this man is asking, all right, about things that we just keep saying from one generation to another generation, we just pass it. He's asking questions, right? If we take these questions and go to God and we answer this question, we will deepen the faith. Because everybody, when I told the pastor, said, it's true, Pastor, somebody asked me the question inside my church too. I just left that matter alone, all right? The other one who said, they asked me, I had to use brain there and tell them. So it means that these are unanswered questions, but we'll just continue with them. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? So it's important, okay, that we do that. So that word was critical faculty. So what do you do? Right? And what happens, and I'll close this, why do people say, you know, you look at somebody who was creative in his thinking. Now I know that. I read F.F. Butler's book, Christ the Healer. And just reading the book, I said to myself, where did this man do this kind of research? Why? Because the evangelicals back then in their days, who were sound in scripture, said they did not believe in divine healing. And they will bring scriptures to show you that divine healing is not right. So for you to answer them, You have to bring scriptures that are very deep. But once everybody agrees there's divine healing, we no longer go into depth. So when truth is challenged, the opportunity is for it to be deepened. Because then we come out with an understanding. Are you following what I'm saying here? Nothing wrong with that. Because that's how they brought, I said, how did they write these books? It's not necessary to go, and they will go into serious things. Serious. In fact, T.J. McCosan, Body Healing and Atonement, he had to be a medical doctor. It's serious stuff that was inside there. All right? About healing there. You said that they even calculated the stripes, 39, drew the disease chart. Ah! But let all you know, maybe just we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. But there were people there that were challenging them. And these people that were challenging them were sound theologians. Now, what are you talking about? They will tell you that, didn't Paul leave somebody sick? They will ask you, didn't Paul leave? He said this one, I left sick. So why did he leave him sick? Answer. Are you from there? So they will go into scriptures to bring it out. You will not know where they found those scriptures, but they had to answer those questions. Robust debates. Are you following? So those things begin to come out. So what happens is, and this is what happens to us, and I'll close and show this here. All right, I had the thing about brain here. But what, let me just say in a nutshell here. When you're growing, your brain, all right, as a child, they have mirror neurons. You are mirroring things all around, mirroring to find out how to behave. You are learning things growing up, all right? And the circuits are being formed in your brain. So after some time, right, the circuits are formed and your worldview is established, which means, all right, it's like your brain has formed. Now, you can go through a process every day and relearn, but at one point, man felt that the circuit has been formed. So that's the way the man thinks. Now, you have to understand that when the circuit forms, that circuit is not necessarily built on facts. It is built on the things you saw as facts. It's built on the authority figures around you. Is built on what they told you, not necessarily what is true, but what you were told. Is built on all those things, and it is formed. All right? So if somebody comes now, and you, that's what you believe, everybody stands with that. I know, I'm saying, I'm right. The only way God can change that thing, all right? And that's written off your mind. He says, well, we'll push a problem towards you, allow it to come into your space. You check everything inside your brain, everywhere. The same way you opened the bonnet and didn't know. You open the bonnet of that situation and you know fan belt and radiator. After that, sir. So it tells you, you need more material now for us to work. You've got to reopen yourself to that process again. Your mind has got to be renewed. You have to go and search for knowledge. Now, if you don't, if you think you know and you know that you know, then you are stuck with that thing for the rest of your life. But if you open up your mind and say, listen, I need to learn now. So when you say Brazilians can play in a certain way, it's not that they are just born that way. It's because they've mirrored it in certain people. And they transfer it from one generation to, you understand what I'm saying here? To another generation. So you look at Nigeria, even football, we are playing with strong wingers. All right, Isaiah Godegwa Maduke, you see after that, we were playing until the system changed and we're no longer playing with wingers. So it's because it was, when you're watching Isaiah Godegwa and Maduke back then, you should be doing like that in school. That's how you learn it. Do you get this? And then it forms. All right? So what I'm trying to tell you is that your truth is not necessarily truth. This is the point I want to say. All right? What you say is right. It's not necessarily right. It's what you were told is right. Now, what happens is a situation now comes your way. Your rightness is producing your nakedness. So God says, I am faithful. He says they gave you a target of 500 million in 3 weeks. I ask you, to him that believeth, are all things possible? You say yes. Are all things possible? Answer now. Yes. Target of 500 million, can you meet it in 3 weeks? Yes. Now, if after 3 weeks, so God says it is possible, all that you need is the material to create the thoughts to get that thing done. It can be done. All right? So what do? You now get specific. Right? You don't say, through Christ that strengthened me, I can do all things. If you have to get 500 million, you say, through Christ that strengthens me, I got 500 million in 3 weeks. That's how you start. Which means you are now saying to this mountain, be thou removed. You are going specific now. All right? You are directing everything towards that. If a person is a medical doctor and you have a child, you tried everything you could treat, the child is still dying, nobody knows what to do, You want to innovate. So what do? You start declaring it out of it. Through the Holy Ghost that resides inside me, I know all things. I have discovered how. If the child's name is Click. Sorry, there's no click, so you don't say it's word of knowledge. All right? Click. Then when you are confessing, you don't just say, through Christ that strengthens me, or by the Holy Ghost it teaches me. You will declare and be specific. Click has been raised up from that bed. Click is walking around because the Holy Spirit taught me the exact things that I'm supposed to do. All right? You are now bringing the Holy Spirit on the scene. By making direct declarations, the Bible says, we believe, therefore we speak, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus will raise us. He starts rising on the inside, which means he now says, all right, I am now on it. If you have a presentation next week and it's on the 10th of May, then you start declaring on the 10th of May, God granted me utterance. I spoke, right, with wisdom and understanding that nobody could resist. And you start saying that. The Holy Spirit starts, but you must be specific. If you are not specific, then you are not. This is why I'm saying that this is how you solve it. Specific things. All right? You go at it. Then once you start going there, pray, Father, get me the material. Let me read. Let me find out things that I need to know about this. The doctor goes back to the medical books. Now the Holy Spirit, and let me tell you what you do. You've got to keep that thing front burner on your heart. Jesus said the light must be burning. All right? Which means you must be constantly pouring oil into that thing. So structure your confession. That I wake up at 5 a.m., I declare it. At 9 a.m., I declare it. Between 5 and 6. Between 9 and 10, I declare it. Between 12 and 1, I declare it. Between 4 and 8, I declare it. Between 9 and 10. So you constantly, you are knocking on the door there. You are constantly knocking on the door, making the confession in specific terms. Knocking on the door. Constantly knocking on that door. All right? Zeroing on that particular thing there. Zeroing on that particular thing there. Staying with the natural information. Begin to read it. Begin to study. Okay? I mean, and then what happens is that from time the Holy Spirit takes one thought here, takes another thought there, and suddenly combines it on the inside and takes you through a pathway that no teacher ever trained you through. Because you are using the pathways that have been created by how you've been taught. The Holy Spirit just takes you through there. And that's how you have geniuses there. And you say, well, you know what? If we give this drug and this drug together, it says, I've never seen it done. And you understand what I'm saying? This drug has this. This drug has this. Put both of them together. Let's see what will happen. You hit both of them together. It doesn't get up. What happened? That's innovation. All right? And it came as a result of directing. All right? Directing. And once that thought comes, how do you know it's a real thing? The minute it bursts through your heart, your burden about that thing is lifted. So you know this is the right thing. Are you following what I'm saying? And so it's lifted there. And so you understand, right, how to... And you have practiced it there. You practiced it there. And you have done it every time there. All right? And then you read. I mean, look, let me just tell you this. Very easy. It's just like, let me just give an example. And somebody is ushering in church. Just test this. Everybody should just go back. Look for what is an issue in your life. Not general knowledge. Is an issue in your life. Go and read. This week, just read. You will see what will happen. Start confessing it, that this matter is resolved, declaring God's promises, God's word. There is a two-edged sword that goes into there, then look for information. Even if you say, I'm ushering. I tried this week. I wanted to how to innovate on our hospitality for ministers when they come in. I said, let me test it. So I went into innovation. Now I know more than I've said, all right, because if I tell you more things, you might react, all right? Some of you might just, it's too much for me, huh? So we've said enough for you to start. As you start, the Lord will show you more, all right? Because there's a way in which you go about it. But, so I went into, I said this word hospitality, I just read hospitality. What does it really mean? Because what we do in church is that when they say hospitality, we go to one, to preach somewhere. We see people stand and say, you know, I told the hospitality people, I banned them. I said, nobody's giving flowers again. It's enough. Everywhere, everybody give flower, flower, flower. He said, don't do. Flower, don't do now. We have to find another way of showing appreciation that is not flower. So it's innovation. Because what happens is that we go somewhere, people pour petals on the ground. Every church now, everybody's pouring petals. So we just emulate. We don't innovate. No mental hard work. I'm not saying you're lazy. Don't say, Pastor, what you said. You're lazy. All right. The mental hard work. Because anybody that says that now is traitor. He said we are lazy. He said we are lazy. It's, everything is we are lazy. All right? Okay? But people don't do that mental hard work. So I just decide. Right? If you just say ushering and you read about ushering 4 pages, you'll find out that your concept of ushering is the first usher you saw when you entered the first church. So when they say usher, that's what you are thinking. When you read about it, then you find out that the responsibilities here, you understand what I'm saying, are much more than anything. Then you understand. I mean, I saw hospitality when I read it. I told him, I said, I mean, all this is involved in this. Now, as I was reading it, scriptures were popping. Right? They said 10 things about hospitality. Popping. You can't beat people that have the know-how. I mean, you go and meet all these people, they say there's crisis. Even the American government, when there was Katrina crisis, George Bush said, hold it. No government is going anywhere. There are institutions that have been doing this for 100 years. They will just stand and look at the people and say, what we're going to need is 400 beds. What we're going to need is amount of drugs. You have not done it before. You can spend all the money on beds where it is after some time you realize that people don't sleep. Are you understand what I'm saying? So you go and meet those kind of people. How come you know the beds, they give you the information? How come you know this, they give you the information? How come? That's what Jesus said. He said, listen, it is not 4 months before the harvest. It doesn't take long. They said, why? He said, I've sent you into a field where you have not labored. Others have labored. Enter into their labor. Go to where people have already given information. You can't innovate to bring anything better than the iPod if you don't understand how the iPod was formed. If the only information you have of science is megaphone, you can only innovate at megaphone level with the Holy Ghost in you. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why the Bible prioritizes knowledge and tells you to seek knowledge. Didn't you have Holy Ghost? You can speak in tongues. I'll give you a time now. Somebody is speaking in tongues just before the trip. The stewards and the supposed pilot. How are we flying? By the grace of God. You will not enter. So what we will do in business is in the morning, prayer meeting. I'm not saying it's wrong, but prayer meeting. Clients, macros, clients. Then start doing very things after the prayer meeting that will drive clients away. You get to reception, the person that says, macro, eating peanuts, macro, people enter, macro, they say, people are not serious people. But they just finished, macros. Macros. Do you get what we're saying? When you do macros, the Lord, wherever information is hidden on this earth, bring it. Magras, which place? North, south, come. Tuyala palatoya calabas. Whether it is in Brazil, let it come, the book to my. Are you following what I'm saying here? Then when you finish your jungreto sosopai, you open the book. Then the Holy Ghost gives you insight. Then close the book. And with your 2 eyes open, execute. Then you will know how long you have been wasting your time. Do you understand this? The makrush that you think that is things flying, you are pulling down. Your problem is inside here. The sword is not to cut any demon. You know, we just say sword. We say yes. Cutting the head of the unpick. But which demon have you seen bleed since they have been using sword? It is to pierce inside your own soul. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, as that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.